Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another daily devotion. It's great to be able to start another week and have another day spent in God's Word. If it's your first time tuning in, or if you're watching this a little bit later on, what we love to do is just pause in the afternoon, open up God's Word for 15 minutes and see what He has to say. This is daily devotion. I think it's 134 or something now. I've forgotten what number we're up to, but that's all right. It's great to be together and a very warm welcome to you. Well, before we turn to God's word, let's just pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your truth as it is found in your word. We pray that you would look after us and help us to find our joy and satisfaction in you through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, if you've got your Bibles, I encourage you. I didn't bother putting a slide up for this one because it's just one verse. And it goes like this, Revelation chapter 8, verse 1. When the Lamb opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. When the Lamb opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. I wonder if you were to pause and write the seventh seal, what would you write? If you had the job of penning this, I mean, just setting aside the fact that this was a vision and John recording it and stuff like that, like if you were to sit down and to describe this, I wonder how you would finish off the six other seals. For the last couple of daily devotions, we've been looking at these seven seals. And I don't think any of us, if we were to have never read through Revelation and we were to read the first six seals and someone was to say to us, what do you think's next? I don't think any of us would say silence. 30 minutes of deathly silence in all of creation, in all of the heavens. This is here for a reason. Why? Why is the seventh seal silence? It's interesting when you think about it. We saw back in Revelation 6 that there were these first four seals, those famous four horsemen, which talked about the way that life in this world was going to continue on. And then we saw in the fifth seal the reality of the persecuted church crying out to God for justice. And then we saw in the sixth seal, in a sense, God's response to that. And we saw God's justice beginning to be poured out. And we saw the wrath of the Lamb. And we saw the world, the evil ones, fleeing from the wrath of the Lamb and from the face of He who sits upon the throne. And they cried out, rocks fall upon us. And then they cry out those last words at the end of chapter 6. Who can stand? Who can stand before the wrath of the Lamb? And then we saw that interlude, didn't we? And in the interlude in chapter 7, we found the answer to that. We saw that the Church of Jesus Christ could stand because they've received the seal of God, and because they've been washed by the blood of the Lamb, they've endured, they've been faithful, they've held fast, to use the words of Hebrews, they've held fast to their confession of faith. And then as we get those beautiful words at the end of chapter 7 of no more hunger and no more thirst and no sun scorching, and the Lamb in their midst as their shepherd, and God wiping away their tears, as we saw the, I guess, beautiful blessings of God upon His people, we get to the seventh seal. See, that's only the six seals, isn't it? We're still waiting for our last and final seal. And then to cap them all off, you'd expect something grand, wouldn't you? You'd expect something incredibly huge in response to all of this that's happened. And yet, there's just silence. You know, you can imagine that in John's vision, the Lamb takes the scroll and he rips open that last seal, and as it as it split open if it was wax, or as it tore open if it was something else, as that ripping sound was heard, deathly silence ensues. The singing of the cherubim has stopped. The living beasts have silenced. The elders have gone quiet. The myriads and myriads of people have gone quiet. All of creation, which was worshipping the Lamb, has gone quiet. The church is quiet. And the enemies are quiet. Why this silence? What is it all about? Well, let me give you a handful of different things. There's a whole bunch of different things it could be pointing to. There's lots of silence in the Old Testament. But let me just point to a few. Firstly, just before this, you've got to remember chapter 7 was an interlude. So if you just take chapter 7 out, sounds weird to say, but if you just set chapter 7 aside, turn with me to chapter 6, you get the opening of the sixth seal, you get the enemies of God crying out, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who is seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand?" The great day of God's wrath has come. We're terrified. Silence. It's a picture, isn't it? It's a picture of the completed wrath of God. The unrighteous enemies of God have finally been silenced. Those who in Psalm 2 would plan against God. Those who all throughout Scripture are raging against him. They're depicted as raging against God. And yet now they've gone quiet. It's not because they've had their mouths shut, but it's because God has shut them permanently. God has silenced them with his wrath. They no longer cry out, "Rocks fall upon us," because the judgment is complete. It's a picture of the completed judgment of God. And so for the wicked, this silence should be a cause for fear. You know, you may, as a anti-God person, you may rage now, but a time will come when you will no longer be able to rage. A time will come when you will be silenced. No longer will you slander God. No longer will you be able to rage against him, for his judgment will be finished. Now, there's a lot more to be said about the judgment of God upon the wicked, but this is the picture of completion. They've been sent to a place of, well, to a place where we no longer hear them. But notice what this means for the church. The silence is a picture of something being finished, isn't it? You think about it when the movie finishes. You're watching a movie at home, a DVD, and when the DVD finishes, silence. When the TV episode finishes, silence. We're not used to this because we live in the world of feeds. So you get the YouTube feed and it just goes from one video to another video to another video to another video, and it just never ends because they never want you to turn it off. But many of us who remember things like tapes can remember that click sound at the end of the tape. You remember it would go, 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 and at the end of the tape it would go click because it was finished and it was silenced. And so here now we see God's redemptive plan is accomplished. The church, there's no more striving for the church. There's no more fretting for the church. We've just heard that their tears are wiped away. We've just heard that they're now in the presence of their shepherd. We've just heard that Jesus is in and amongst his people. And now there is silence. Because they're resting in the comfort of their God. and God is silent. Because God's Sabbath rest, in a sense, is taken up again. You remember he Sabbath rested on the seventh day. And it's almost like now, as his redemptive plan is finished and his people are gathered together, it's as if that rest starts again. So it's a picture of a completed redemption, and it's a picture of the church at peace, isn't it? No more are the church like they did back in chapter 6, crying out, O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you will judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? No longer do they need to cry that out because it's been done. No longer are the prayers of the saints, the afflicted ones, being lifted up because they have peace. But even more than all of these things, I think it's a wonderful picture of what happens when all is said and done. You see, when all is said and done, when everything's been finished, when sinners are gathered, when saved and redeemed sinners are gathered together in the presence of God, every single one of them has one appropriate response. Their hand over their mouth. Over their mouth. Why? Because in that moment, you and I will be so overwhelmed with the goodness and the kindness and the mercy and the grace and the love of God that we will not have words to say. It's a little bit like, and it's just a faint image of what it's like when you sit with your loved wife or husband or your fiance, and you sit and you just look at them and you don't have words to say. It's like that moment when the husband is standing, or not the husband, the bridegroom is standing there, and the bride walks down the aisle of the church for the wedding. He doesn't say anything, does he? He's got no words to say. But rather, he just wants to sit there and soak in her beauty. He doesn't care who else is around. He just wants to soak in her beauty. And so like that, the Church of Jesus Christ ceases to do anything but just be filled with awe and a holy reverence and silence towards their God. And I think it's a challenge for you and I. Are we overwhelmed with God? See, that's what this silence is like a picture of. The church overwhelmed with her God. Have you had that? Are you so filled with awe at what God is doing for you that sometimes it just brings you to your knees in silence? Or do you live in such a noisy world and such a noisy brain and such a noisy heart that you don't have space to be overwhelmed by him? You see, sometimes I think we're so busy talking and we're so busy listening and watching that we no longer have the ability and the headspace to be able to just gaze upon his beauty and be overwhelmed. What would it take for you to take up God's word and soak in it and just gaze and meditate upon the beauty of your Savior and just sit and be still? You remember those words? Be still and know that I am God. What would it take for you to do that? What would it take for you to be like that? You see, if we don't want it now, what makes us think we're going to want it then? So often we like to think that, you know, when we get there, then we'll want him. But I think the truth be told is, if we don't want him now, we won't want him then. So let me challenge you, let me exhort you to learn what it means to be silent before God, to be in awe of God, to be so overwhelmed with his splendor that the only response you have is to sit and just relish him. Let's pray. Lord, you are magnificent. And as we see the silence before us, we recognize that we fill our space and our brains with so much, our hearts. Help us to be overwhelmed with you. Lord, we thank you that there will come a day when your church will be gathered in silence before you. May we taste some of that now. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, thanks so much for joining me for another day. Just a forward warning that tomorrow we normally have a Westminster Wednesday, but I have way too much on, so I'm not going to be able to put one out. My apologies for that. I have a sermon to preach tomorrow evening for a special event, so I will not be here tomorrow at 4:30. But I will be here on Thursday, so I will look forward to seeing you then. Have a most blessed couple of days, and I'll look forward to seeing you on Thursday. Good night. And love.